Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And back with me again today, I have Craig and Krisha Robine, Indiana graduates, big fans, and they went to the right down. You went to every game, didn't you, from once the championship started? Or did you make any regular season games?
We didn't make a regular season game this year. Again, her season coaching conflicts with that. But from the Big Ten championship on. So, yeah, it was fun.
And those that might have missed the last episode, you can go on YouTube or listen on demand and catch it all. So, anyway. Now, Craig, have you ever coached?
Not really. You know, I helped out with some of the guys that I grew up with that are now all high school coaches or were at one time, and I would go to their camps and help, but not officially a head coach of a team.
And Krisha, you've been coaching volleyball for how long?
A long time. Yeah. So even when we were up in Peoria, I helped just locally with camps and with some of the club teams and camps that they would put on up there. And then when we moved to Carrollton, I have been our head coach for the last five seasons at the high school. And then I've also coached at St. John's for the last
five seasons. I'm going to ask Craig. Craig, how good was Krisha as a volleyball player?
As a player, you know, as a college football player, you went and watched because they were usually very good-looking women wearing short shorts. So in college, our interest at football players was maybe something different. But she was an excellent player. Look, you have to be amazing to come to be her size. She was the shortest volleyball player in the Big Ten. And to go initially as a walk-on, right?
Correct.
And then to earn a scholarship, I'll say that it was extremely difficult at that time to overcome everything you have to overcome as a walk-on to earn that scholarship, which you did in year two, right?
Correct.
And then was a starter for 3 years and then a team captain. Being a team captain, that's voted on by your peers. And Yes. That's the greatest honor that has been bestowed on me in my career of anything is when your teammates look at you and they say, hey, this is our leader, you know?
Yep.
So, she had to be excellent. And I would say that what she's done in coaching has been equally as impressive, you know, in terms of starting the program at St. John's. They didn't have a program. They won two state championships last year, seventh and eighth grade, from zero to state championship in 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
wow, that's just like the coach from Indiana.
I don't know. Well,
I'm doting on her a little bit, but she's done a really good job. And the biggest thing is, like, when she comes home, of course, our kids are playing and we're vested in that way, but we spend a lot of time talking together about, in difficult situations, about what is the best thing for this kid. Because ultimately, the sport, it's not just about playing today or winning today. It's what tools are they going to take with them that's going to matter later. And that's the real lesson from sports. And we do spend a lot of time talking about that at home, you know. So that's been fun to be a part of that.
That is. That's great. And I'm sure Carrollton High School and all the community really appreciates all the work you put in. And having such a great, I mean, you know, they're so fortunate, you know? Anyway, let's go to this championship game that you guys attended. All right, so did you know all along, you know, that you were going to go to that, when you were at the Peach Bowl and they won? Were you thinking, okay, now what? What happened?
Krisha was feigning as if it didn't matter, but I could just tell there was going to be no happiness in our house unless she was physically at each one of these games. So it's taken me a long time as a husband to figure some of these things out that are unspoken, but I knew immediately because of her passion for Indiana and football, really, that she was going to have to be at every one of these games.
So I'll say this. I am a college football fan. Like, I love college football. I watch ESPN game day, like, before I go into coach practice on Saturdays. Like, I'm watching every game I can watch. It's my reality TV. Like, I don't watch Real Housewives. I watch college football. That is my reality TV. I know the players, the transfer. I know all the big things that are happening, the backstory drama. I love it all. So I'm heavily vested in college football in general. And then when Indiana's doing it, it's like just euphoria. So it was, he's right. I wanted to go to everyone.
Well, that's what I tell people when they ask me about football. Hey, how is Indiana doing in the portal? How's this going? Or what? You should ask Krisha because she's watching all of the coverage. You know, she's up on it. So
I don't know. Let me call her.
Krisha. Yeah. It's true.
Yes. So you decide, was it hard to get tickets?
It was really hard. You know, we were slow playing that in the hotel room in Atlanta the day after the Peach Bowl. We stayed an extra day. I think the game was on Friday night, and we stayed.
Actually, the joke was, we said, hey, tell everybody back home, we're just going straight to Miami. We'll see the kids in 10 days. Like, we're just going. Like, let's just go. Yeah. But we had to get home for work and all the other responsibilities, so...
You know, I went to the national championship game in 2017 when Alabama and Clemson played, just as a bucket list item. I was like, I have to go see one. I took some customers, and I was talking to the Alabama fans because Clemson had out-traveled them. And I said, how come Clemson is out-traveling you? They're like, you don't understand, man. Like, a lot of these people, Alabama is not densely populated. They pay to go to all these games during the season. And then you go to the SEC championship. And then by the time you get to the national championship, people are out of money. And I was like, no way. You know, it's not that expensive to go to these games. And one of the things I've joked this year is you have no idea how expensive it is to be a fan of an elite college football player. You got to want it if you're going to these games. So, yeah. So we ended up getting the tickets probably on Wednesday. I caved Wednesday morning, and I was like, they're not getting cheaper, you know? So we bit the bullet, got the tickets, and we already had our hotel and everything planned, which a lot of people did. Everybody bought a hotel and flights, and they were like, if I get down there and I can't get a ticket, I'll just go to a bar and watch it. But there was a ton of people that went down that didn't go to the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got decent tickets?
We did. We were 12 rows up in the corner of the end zone, which is kind of tough. You know, when you're used to watching at home, the commentators give you all the news. Mm-hmm. So when you're at the game, you know, you don't get all that color commentation. So, but being on that end, of course, you see all the action on that end, which we saw some really cool stuff. But you miss... You know, you're watching the Jumbotron on the stuff on the other end of the field. So, but the tickets were excellent for the venue, I would say.
I would say the only negative was there were, it's a little bit older stadium. So the cup holders were right into his knees. So he happened to remove one before the game.
It's like, I am not paying what I paid to sit here. When you sat down, okay. The back of the seat bowed, and the only place where my knees would fit, there was cup holders sticking out.
Right.
And I saw, I looked around, and I was like, there's cup holders missing from a lot of these chairs, and I'm sure it's for the same reason that I'm feeling right now. Mm-hmm. So the chair in front of me was less a couple of cup holders, because I was like, I'm not sitting like this for 6 hours, you know? for the price of admission to this place, this should not feel like
Of course, the only time you ever sit down... For all of these games,
yeah, you're standing
was during timeouts. You stood the entire rest of the game. Yeah. Everyone stood in the entire stadium for the entire game, with the exception of timeouts. You would get your sitting break during timeouts.
I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So, what are got any highlights from the game?
Yeah, go ahead. You're better with the plays. For me, the big highlight is you go back and there's a lot of player tailgates, and you realize that there was a moment of your life, and you could think of your high school team, your college team, and then, you know, like my NFL Europe team, and even a couple of the training camps where you get so close to a certain group of people for what now seems like a relatively short period of your life, and you have those relationships that you mostly walk away from after that because everybody gets busy, and then you go back and you realize that it's just like you didn't miss a beat, right? It's like, you know, you get together with your old buddies, you don't see them for years, and it's like you just get right back. So for me, that was a highlight. Krisha could talk about the highlights of the game. I mean, she's watching the mashups during and after the game, you know.
I think first things that happened that was just you kept waiting. It was just back and forth. I mean, it was just tight the whole entire time. And then they went to punt that ball, and Kamara it said he just turned it loose and went after it and got the blocked punt. And I think it was number 46 Jones who recovered it in the end zone. And again, the stadium just blew up. I mean, just blew up. Like, because they've made a living all season on these phenomenal defensive plays.
Special
teams. And we just kept waiting for one of those to happen. And when it broke, then everybody, that was just kind of like we needed that, right? Mm-hmm. And they were shutting us down on offense, actually.
So, Chris, you know what's cool about Indiana, and I don't know if this is the way now, but having played, you would be able to remember this. And if you're a coach today, you're thinking about, how do I use my best players when they're not on offense or defense? The guy that blocked that punt was on the punt block was a starting defensive end, okay? And during the timeout, when you're at the game, you see these things. When they're standing out there lined up for kick return before they're kicking it off, and they're just milling around.
Yep.
You notice that Charlie Becker, the best wide receiver, is like on the front line of the kickoff return. So this isn't the type of thing where they say like, hey, we're going to put all of our backups out here on special teams. I mean, they place a premium on it. They've got their very best players out there for the special teams.
Indiana does.
Yes, which I thought was a lesson.
And
you know?
A lot of times, like, teams don't want to risk those players. They don't maybe value special teams. But Indiana made a living on special teams this year, you know? I mean, got a lot of great plays off of it, and that's why they're playing their starters. So I would say, and you just said Charlie Becker, he had just some phenomenal, you know, back shoulder catches down the stretch for third downs that were great. And then, of course, the play that we've all seen a million times.
Well, you and I have.
Well.
Well, on the field. Miami had all the momentum.
Hey, one second. I got to let everybody know.
Yep.
I got super Indiana fans here. Craig and Chris Robain going over the highlights of last, I don't know, was it a week ago? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, like two weeks.
2 weeks ago. Yeah. Talking about, you know what? And really, listeners, you're blessed to hear this. This is the inside scoop, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to hear this. You're not going to hear this anyplace else. So
unless you run into us, you'll hear it. hope it's not too pompous, you know. But it's just after that long, it's been so thrilling, you know. But the play she's referring to is we were sitting in the corner end zone right in front of this. It was 4th and 5, and it's late in the game, and they could have kicked the field goal and gone up by 6. But Miami kind of had all the momentum, and this is really the big play of the game.
Yeah.
And Cignetti sent the field goal kicker out there. And then they called a timeout, and the field goal kicker's still out there warming up. This is one of the things at the game when you're kind of like, you don't get to hear Herb Street saying,
right,
you know, they're going to kick it or whatever, you know. You're just like, when they break the huddle to come back out, they've got the offense out there. And I looked at her, and I'm like, this is insane. Like, the risk that he is taking, you know. It sent a clear message that, you know, they're not happy to be here. They're playing to win. And that 4th and 5 play, they called the quarterback. Basically, it's an isolation play. So, like, when you run a draw and all your – sorry, I don't want to –
No, I just want to – I want to back up just 1 second there, though. What was fun is when we went back and we did get to watch the TV highlights, you hear the moment Cignetti make that decision, and you hear him go, "We're going. We're gonna go. Let's go. Let's go." And now hearing that, my heart stops because I'm like, I can't believe they did that. Like, I can't believe it all happened in that 1 second decision. Like, it's just mind blowing.
That's the way he is, isn't he?
That's what they get paid for. How would you like to make that decision? That's why he gets $11 million a year or whatever, because you make that decision.
I will say that happened right in our corner of the end zone, right in front of us happened. And, you know, we're all just, I mean, you're just collectively holding your breath as a crowd. Like, I can't believe we're doing this. Go ahead.
Well, look, for me, the call was interesting because, not to get too down in the weeds here, but there's basically three schemes of blocking in football. It's not that complicated at the line. You got zone scheme, you got gap scheme, and you've got man. Isolation is blocked as man. So a draw is like, you know, the quarterback pulls back like he's going to throw. Everyone blocks it like isolation. So you've got the fullback up on the middle. You've got kind of man blocking up front. And it was not really there. And it was 4th and 5 on the 10. And Mendoza, you know, he got around one guy, but everyone was a hat on a hat, right? So this is like a great lesson in football. You break this play down, if you look it, they weren't pancake blocks, but no one was like flopping on the ground and missing. They were on their feet, and they had a hat on a hat. And he was able to work around, and he got the first down, got smashed. I mean,
Got the first down.
Spun around, kept his feet, and then dove. As if the kid wasn't a legend already. Winning the Heisman. And then to make that play in the national championship, it's like, there's a picture.
On fourth and five.
Yeah.
Well, what's cool about, what we ended up appreciating about this team is, like, they're just such good kids. They hold themselves so well. They interview so well, and he's just been so humble the whole entire way, and which is incredible to watch this kid. He's been so humble, and I did love. There's just a flash of a moment after he makes that incredible touchdown, and his teammates pick him up, and he's coming to the sideline, and his quarterback's coach goes to give him a high five, and he just gave him the little Heisman. And I was like, oh, like, it was just his only moment of like that's right, you know, and because he never acts like that, and but so it was so fun to just see that little bit.
I think that's the big influence of the coach, though, setting the tone, because you didn't see a lot of this beating their chest for individualism throughout the season. When they interviewed after the game, they were saying smart things. They weren't saying stupid things. That's coaching, right?
Yeah.
If you want to control that aspect of what the kids do, you have to coach it. And you could just tell they were all so selfless, you know, and that it, you know, one of the mantras they said, and one of the players quoted this at their kind of their rally, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. You know, and you could tell they embodied that throughout the season. Just the discipline. It wasn't a team that was going to beat itself. You had to beat them. You didn't see a lot of penalties. You didn't see a lot of fumbles. Those are the easy things, right, that mm-hmm. we can all bring. And they had enough talent, obviously, to get it done. So it was really cool.
And just to finish out that game, you know, Alabama is driving and going for a touchdown. Miami. Miami is driving, going for a touchdown, and that they're moving down the field. And they are making ground, and you see Carson Beck go back and just throw that long ball, and they've got a receiver down there. And luckily, our cornerback?
Yeah, I think? It was a little underthrown, and he came under and picked it off, which was.
And
like,
then, of course, then it was just party on, right? Yeah. Just, yeah. yeah.
That was
fun. Yeah.
I'm afraid that we're having too much fun, Christian.
It was so much fun.
I don't want to appear as if we're gloating, but I will remind everybody what we have been through, you know, as fans and players. There is just a euphoric moment, you know? And when you asked to come and talk about it, I was like, you know, why not? That sounds like big fun. Let's do that.
Any advice, any tips that you like to give, maybe young players in our neck of the woods and parents to be able to succeed like Indiana?
You know, I think that what he was just talking about, that team atmosphere and being all in for the team, it's incredible that selflessness and being for the team, what you can accomplish when a team has that mindset. And actually, I give that example of even our little eighth graders at St. John's. Those girls understand, you know,
And you won two state championships?
We did last year, yes. Yeah.
Two state championships.
Yeah, and those girls are currently undefeated. I mean, they got a long road ahead of them still. But, you know, I give this example. They're all great girls. They're all great girls. But they're eighth grade girls. They're not all best friends, okay?
Right.
But when they get on the floor together, they encourage each other. They cheer each other on. They pick each other up. They're each other's biggest fans. And they know the opponents on the other side of the court. They want to win so bad. They put aside all differences and they play as a team. And I think that that's something that you saw Indiana do just magnificently. And I think that it's something that carries over because we've become a very individualistic society. And I think that when you start to see kids be willing to buy into that team concept and buy into, like, we're here for the team, everybody buy into their job on the team, you see a lot of success come out of that. And, you know, I was lucky. North Green High School is doing a really neat thing. Their technical math class, they've got a great teacher, and she's doing these things called Future Fridays. And she's asking people to, she asked the kids, what do you think you might be interested in doing in the future? And they gave her a list of careers. And so she's gone and asked people to come speak to them who are in those careers. And they have a kid who, one of them was interested in potentially crop insurance or being a crop adjuster. And I'm also a crop adjuster. And so she asked me to come and I went up and talked to them. But really anytime I get to interact with high school kids, and talk to them, and the message I gave those kids that day, like, you just have to be willing to show up on time, care, and work outwork your peers. You do that, you'll be successful in 90-95% of situations. Mm-hmm. And that's the message you try to get through to these high schoolers. Like, help other people get what they want and you'll be successful. And outwork your peers, be willing to go the extra mile. They say it's rarely crowded, right? Go the extra mile, show up and do the extra work. And that's something that we talked about. You know, yes, of course, I talked about being a crop adjuster when I was at North Green, but we talked a lot about just future lessons that apply to all avenues, whatever walk of life you choose to take.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think, Craig, do you think Cignetti, this will change the way coaches think about coaching football?
Yeah, I think that everybody is asking themselves a lot of questions based on the success that he's had in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
It's raised the bar for everybody. So I think you'll see that play out. The expectations are so unrealistic because every program out there has got donors willing to invest at a high level, and they all want to win the national championship. And there's 120 some odd FBS or Division I schools, and only one can win the national championship. And you know what? We were lucky this year that Indiana did it, and it's great. But you know, that's what makes sports great. So they're going to have success as long as he's there. I think it's unrealistic to predict the same level of success, but they'll be competitive. You know, for me to answer the same question that Krisha just did, I just talked to our group at our annual kickoff sales meeting, and I think that everyone gets so caught up in what other people are doing and in sports. Well, what is this person doing? What is this person doing? And look at what they're doing. And the only thing that we can all control is ourselves. So, you know, like, I keep it very simple. Like, the things that everybody can bring every day are a positive attitude. You can bring your effort and you can bring intensity. And having been both of these people, the type of person that does something half-ass and then the type of person that goes all in, is that it takes just as much effort to do a shitty job almost as it does to do an amazing job. So if you want to be different, focus on doing things right. I've told some of your kids that before. It's like, you know, because kids are always trying to differentiate themselves. And a lot of times as high schoolers, you think that the answer to that is to do something wild and stupid. And for me, the things I notice when I watch college football now is the guy that scores the touchdown and walks in the end zone and hands the ball to the official. You know, it's like when you get there, act like you've been there before. I mean, when you stand there and you do the dance and you slam the ball, it's like clearly it's his first time, you know. So, I mean, expect it and act like you've been there before, you know. And, you know, that official, I'm sure it's not very good for them to when you throw the ball at them and they got to chase it down.
Right.
And, you know, I appreciate those types of things.
I agree. And I, you know, it's something that we talk about all the time at the high school on our team is just everybody has a job. Everybody has a role. Embrace your role. And if you embrace your role, the whole team is going to succeed. And I think that that just that collective thought goes so far,
it does.
You know, and the kids get to be a part of something because not everybody's going to go be, you know, the stud player that goes wherever. Not everybody's going to get to be that kid, but everybody can share in the success of a team and be a meaningful part to a team.
And that's the part they're going to take with them anyway.
Yeah.
Like for me, a lot of guys are always like, wow, it would have been so awesome to play at Michigan. And your experience, while it was, you know, the most memorable things are the lessons, you know, the same lessons are learned at each level. So I learned all that in high school, you know, with the success we had. So it doesn't take getting to those levels to learn these things and to enjoy it. Oftentimes your best experiences and your best memories are going to be with those people you grew up with at the high school level. You've known them your whole life. You know, you went through a large part of your developing years with them. So to have those experiences are great. And, you know, it really makes me appreciate. I do not envy her a lot of times. Like coaching, anyone that gives their time coaching, it is such a difficult job. And this is just me as a spectator to try to give everyone an opportunity to shine and to find a place where everyone can best be suited. And if someone's not finding that success, to keep them motivated or to counsel them in the right way, there is no amount of money that is enough. And I know that there's no coach that's in it for money at the high school level, you know, but they do it because they love it.
Yeah.
And I have a deep appreciation for that, especially now having, you know, our lives are not good when Carrollton volleyball loses. It affects me. Okay. So
win. Win, baby, win. Well, I tell you what, ran out of time again. Mm-hmm. So we're going to wrap this up. Thanks so much for coming in. It was very enjoyable.
Always enjoy it.
Yes. Yep.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. You guys take care.